to Coward's Fury. I'm Chris.
And I'm Charles.
And we're super happy to be here with you, wherever you're listening. And hey, do us a favor. I mean, if you're driving, do this after you're done driving. But leave us a 5-star rating on whatever podcast app you're using and share us with all your friends. We'd really appreciate it. Kind of keep things moving along here.
Yeah, what Chris says.
It's always what I say.
Mm-hmm. And before we go any further, I want to take a minute to give a quick shout out.
Oh, yeah. Last time we didn't do a shout out when we did our reboot. So,
all right. So this shout out, and quite frankly, they're all based off of the emails we get. And this is from Gus. I'm guessing Gustavo, but I don't know.
Could be Gustavo.
Gus said, like the show. Thanks.
Yay. That's what we're aiming for.
podcast, but appreciate it. Like the show. The whole firehouse listens to it.
Yay, firehouse.
Keep on keeping on. Well, woo-woo. You know, Gus, thanks, brother. And keep that Dalmatian well-groomed. I don't know what to say. That's all it was. It was like a one-sentence thing. And it was like, yeah, thanks, man. So appreciate it. Glad you guys like it there, wherever the firehouse may be.
Yes.
Is it like three volunteer guys that drink, like part-time? Or is it like, you know, like a federal firehouse, right? Like at like some army base or something in between. Like the firehouses we envision all over the United States. I don't know. Glad y'all are listening to it. So thanks.
Me too. And
thanks, Gus. You're the man.
Dalmatians need grooming?
I don't know. Oh. Does anyone out there know? I guess we could Google this.
Do firemen have Dalmatians?
Yeah. And, do they even serve a purpose?
And do Dalmatians need grooming?
Right.
Email us at cowardsfury@gmail.com.
I really don't care if you know that. I care if you know that.
I care if you know it.
Yeah, right. So, sorry. Okay. I digress. So that's the shout out.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks for listening, Gus and friends.
Thanks to all
and fire
of our,
people, men
all
and
of our
women.
First responders. They're amazing.
That's right.
So we have a crazy story to tell you today.
Why is it crazy, Chris?
Oh, let me count the ways. Mm. I don't even think I can count the ways. Sometimes I try. I would fail miserably with this craziness.
True.
So,
I mean, you would?
I would. Oh. So today we are going to talk about the madness that is Pamela Marie Hupp. She was born.
Wait. Pamela Marie Newman.
That was how she was born. She was married later and turned into Hupp.
Got it. And she goes by...
Pam.
Like the cooking spray.
Like the cooking spray.
Hey, how are you? I'm Pam. I don't need cooking spray.
And the funny thing is, you'll find out,
yeah,
she turns out to be pretty damn slippery.
All right, Pam. She's got that name for a reason because she's slippery.
She can be slippery.
Well, look at Chris with all this wittiness
you
already.
Like that? Yeah.
Like 3 minutes in and you're throwing it out.
I try. So she was born October 10th, 1958 in Delwood, Missouri, which lies just north of St. Louis, and in 2010 had a population of just over 5,000. So we're talking small.
That's like the most up-to-date records they have.
Yeah.
It's like, 14 years ago we had 5,000 people. They've actually probably declined.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
You know what? When cities don't update that, it's because it's not good.
Well.
We're not shrinking. We're just staying the same.
Yeah, tiny town. So Pam attended Riverview Gardens High School, and she had kind of an unremarkable history there, although she was athletic as both a cheerleader and a gymnast. Certainly nothing that anyone has publicly pointed to that might foreshadow the woman that she would become, though. So she was pretty low-key, but she was a little bit boy crazy in those younger years.
A little frisky.
She got a little frisky, and after prom, she and her boyfriend discovered that they would... like, kind of need to get married because, you know, back then that's what you did because she was pregnant. That her first marriage lasted 6 years.
So Pam was putting out.
Pam was putting out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jeez, Pam.
In sort of those early professional years, she held several different jobs, mostly in the life insurance industry. And we do know that on two occasions she was fired for probable forgery.
I think it was more like misunderstandings, but...
yeah, you know what? I'm sure that's how she would categorize them.
Pam.
Yep. In 2001, Pam and her new husband, Mark Hupp, settled in O'Fallon, Missouri. Now, I couldn't find where they met, but they met.
I'll tell you where they met.
In Missouri? I'm sorry. That yes. was a Captain Obvious moment.
Chris, they did.
Thanks.
They met at the International Missouri Local Small Town Cooking Contest.
I thought you were going to say the International.
Where they had Pam.
Oh.
Cooking spray.
For a minute, I thought you were going to say the International House of Pancakes.
Oh my God, I should have said that.
They met at the IHOP.
They met at the IHOP.
Yes, they did. So she worked for State Farm as an administrator, but she also flipped houses on the side via a company called H2 Partners LLC.
Sounds reputable.
Well, by 2010, Pam had kind of stopped working and she was trying to claim disability benefits.
Bad back? She slipped and fell.
You're very close.
That's great.
Very close. She claimed that she had been hit in the head by like a falling filing cabinet. And she had back.
At work.
Yes.
Not during the DIY.
Yeah. So she had back, leg, and neck pain.
Damn.
Ultimately, the disability claim fell through. So Pam needed to do something else to make more money, right? There is some evidence that she...
Dang, it fell through?
Yeah.
Sorry, Pam.
They denied it. Yeah, well, because it was BS, likely.
Go figure.
There is some evidence that she attempted to set up a couple of different companies to potentially obtain, like, fake grant funding. One was a medical records company. Both were issued what's called a DUNS number and listed Pam as the owner, but no other information could be obtained about them, which would raise some red flags. And just in case anybody doesn't know, you need a DUNS number... to get business credit for borrowing and grant funding purposes. So we're going to transition here for just a minute to Elizabeth K. Meyer Faria, or Betsy, as she was known.
Another key person in this saga.
Yeah. This is
Sega.
Sega?
Saga?
Well, Sega. No, Sega's a gaming system, an old Sega. Gaming system. I just aged myself. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't know what that is. I'm more of a Wii man.
Oh, God, a wee man. Nice. I thought you said wee. I thought you meant like little man.
We aren't
you meant wee, W-I-I.
We have a wee. I think we threw away our wee.
The wee's long gone.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah. The kids like to play Skylanders. Remember?
Nope.
Anyway, Betsy was born on March 24th, 1969 in Richmond Heights, Missouri. She lived in Troy, Missouri with her husband, Russell Scott Faria, or Russ.
Russ.
And her two daughters from a previous relationship. She was described as a vivacious extrovert, which, by the way, is never how anyone would ever describe me. And she actually started doing a side DJ job.
Chris, that's not true. You could DJ.
I don't think I could DJ. No.
You could.
No. But she started doing that job when she was in high school. She had kind of fallen into the business when she DJed for a young couple's wedding who didn't have much money, but they wanted music, you know, at their wedding, of course.
And what year was this?
I'm
so confused. She was born in 69. She wanted to DJ when she was young. Was she like...
This was probably like in the mid to late 80s, yeah.
19, she had a boombox.
Probably. Either way, she totally fell in love with it. And
you know
she,
there's like hobbyists that collect boomboxes now?
They collect them?
Yeah.
What do they do with them?
I don't know. But people collect weird shit. But like, I would rather collect boomboxes than like baskets or I don't know.
Whatever. I don't collect baskets.
Neither do I.
Actually, I really don't collect much of anything. I mean, except for true crime stories.
So, fun fact about Chris, she actually collects a lot of knowledge. Like, we can do pop quizzes, and she gets them right all the time. It's actually eerie how much information she can store in her brain. It's true, actually.
But I'm terrible with names.
You see her face, this is truth. And she isn't, I'm not good with names either. Chris doesn't admit it, but I always admit it.
Thanks.
Let's say like I don't know your name, but I remember the conversation we had and
yeah,
you know how many kids you have and
your
job.
Well, I also learned not to say to somebody "nice to meet you" in case you've already met them and you just don't remember. You say "nice to see you."
What's up?
Yeah. Anyway, she loved doing DJ work, and she wanted to continue to do it and make it her business, and she did.
Betsy.
But she also worked other jobs to help supplement her income.
And didn't claim disability.
She did not.
Like Pam.
And she probably could have, but she also worked at State Farm from back in 2003, which is where Betsy met Pam Hupp.
Snake Farm.
They became friends.
Snake Farm. Like they bite you because they don't honor your claim.
Right, because they're an insurance company.
They all do it.
Yeah. So Betsy and Pam became friends, but little did Betsy know this friendship would prove to be ill-fated.
This tells me that Pam got one over on Betsy. Mm. This tells me that this story is developing.
It's going to go south.
Is Betsy the victim?
Yeah. Mm. Betsy's going to have a rough go of it in more ways than one because in 2010, Betsy was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yeah, a lot of people get it.
And she had to have a double mastectomy.
Oh.
Yeah. See, that's rough.
Like, I'll be honest, I'm interested in that. Not in a weird way, but like in like a scientific way. Like, how does that work? And it's like that simple.
Yeah, you just...
Yeah, things are just removed.
They're just removed.
Yeah.
And hopefully you get to have like, reconstructive surgery.
Like, that'd be pretty painful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big surgery.
Yeah.
In 2011, she was told she was in remission. And because she was in remission, she wanted to plan this, like, celebration of life cruise in the fall of that year. However, in October of the same year, Betsy learned that not only was the cancer back, this is really bad, it had metastasized to her liver.
Oh, the celebration of life ended quick.
Well, yeah, that's a death sentence.
Yeah.
She was actually given 3 years to live if she stayed on chemo.
But right. That's the question we all have. Do we stay on chemo for 3 years or party really hard for 1 year?
She's young at this point and she has two
kids.
How
old is she?
Well, she was born in 69 and it's 2011.
What year? What was, say it again?
69.
Gosh, Chris, easy.
Oh, please. Wow, gutter mind. But in true Betsy style, they moved ahead with the celebration.
She's like 40.
Of life cruise. Yeah, she's young.
She's not young. That's old.
That is not old.
Fucking old, man.
Whatever. She wanted to go ahead with the celebration of life cruise.
She's got, so her liver's messed up. Actually, you got cancer in the liver. I mean, you just drink like.
Like a fish?
Yeah, maybe the alcohol will kill the cancer.
No, that's not how it works.
Yeah, I know. But like, I'm not an idiot. However, what do you have to lose?
Well, you lose time, right?
With a bad hangover.
Well, she chose to keep her spirits up and go on this cruise.
Good for her.
Well, she didn't know it, but this was going to be her last cruise.
Oh, Betsy.
So Betsy and Pam had done a lot of things together over time. Betsy even DJ'd Pam's daughter's wedding. Whoa. But not all of these things were on the up and up. Pam and Betsy reportedly collected money for the Murphy family. I don't know who this family is, but...
It's a make-believe family.
No, it's not. Actually, the family is real.
Oh, okay.
Because the mom was also impacted by cancer. St. Louis station KTVI discovered several years later that the family, the Murphy family, who did exist, did not know about the collection. And Pam and Betsy, especially Pam, even went door-to-door with flyers to collect money. Reportedly, they collected $10,000, which no one understands where that money, if they actually collected it, may have gone. Information was presented to Lincoln County authorities in 2014, but was not investigated further. There was no evidence to suggest that Betsy knew the fundraiser was questionable, because her friends would later recall that she was excited to be helping a struggling family, even though she herself was dying, because she was a good person.
Wait a minute. She was re-diagnosed in 2011.
Yeah.
She was given 3 years to live. Now it's 2014.
No. The potential theft of the fake charity was reported in 2014.
Okay.
Which you'll find out. Just roll with me. Because that's actually after Betsy's death.
I was trying to add it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Okay, all right.
So...
Carry on, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you very much. One of her good friends, Kathleen Meyer, said, quote, "This was going to be a legacy for her, to leave something like this behind in her memory." Pam and Betsy kind of fell out of touch. So remember, they met originally in 2003. They kind of fell out of touch until Betsy went back to work for State Farm and got cancer. Pam actually sort of weaseled her way back into Betsy's life with a fierceness that felt a little too strong and territorial after she heard that Betsy had cancer.
Go figure.
Yeah, well.
Pam was looking for something extra.
Mm-hmm. In fact, on December 22nd, 2011, just days before her death, Betsy and Pam went to a library for a notary, or a witness rather, so Betsy could change the sole beneficiary of her $150,000 State Farm life insurance policy from her husband, Russ, to Pam.
Yeah, man. Pam and her were buddies.
Yep. When questioned about this later, Pam said Betsy had asked her to give the money to her daughters when they were older.
That's right. Hence, can't trust Russ.
Well, she said he would, I think the quote was, pissed through it all.
Yeah.
So Pam later said that Betsy had told her that she should keep the money for herself, which...
Okay, so basically...
Nobody would believe that.
Betsy's lying. So basically, Pam was making a bunch of shit up.
Yeah, she was. So...
Got it. She, you know, she should have been an attorney.
No. Oh my gosh, no. So fast She's forward again. Betsy's right daughters...
Falling right into the mix.
Mm-hmm. Betsy's daughters launched a legal challenge against Pam Hupp and her husband to attempt to claim the life insurance policy in 2014. So this is after Betsy is to pass
Which
away.
Means she ceased before then.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But that claim was dismissed in 2016. Russ launched his own legal challenge.
Yeah, Russ, get it done, bro.
Against State Farm.
Snake Farm.
In 2016.
Not a Snake Farm fan.
No. Pam Hupp admitted that she had lied about what she had intended to do with the life insurance proceeds during this time. Prosecutors later speculated that Russ had been angered by Betsy's actions, giving him a motive to kill her.
Oh, good job. It's because they're in some shit town, and they're like, oh, we're going to go after the easiest person.
The husband. It's always the husband, right?
You know what? Russ is innocent. Actually, well, I'm purely speculating.
Here's the funny part.
And this, I don't read ahead in these things. I take up. It all in.
This is the funny part, and this never came up until later. Russ actually remained the beneficiary on a separate $100,000 life insurance policy that Betsy had. So it wasn't like he was out the money.
Wait, that's like equivalent to $135,000 in today's money.
It is.
Damn.
Yes.
It's like inflation's a bitch.
I know, right? So she had money set aside for her kids, but she also had money set aside for her husband.
You know why? Because she wanted Russ to take celebration cruises too.
Yes.
After.
Well.
Yeah, man.
We'll find out what happens to Russ.
You know what? If I die, Chris, I want you to take celebration cruises every year.
Thanks. That's really nice.
You'd podcast and do other shit, but it's cool.
I might become a recluse. I'm not exactly an extrovert. I'm perfectly happy being by myself. I maybe shouldn't admit that out loud, though. It's like if you were to do like a forensic search of my computer and all those weird searches I do, you'd be like, oh, this lady's a serial killer for sure. Yeah. And then I just said I'd be a recluse. I should probably watch it.
I'm so confused right now, Chris. Keep talking.
I won't.
You'll bring clarity or not to my life. Russ sounds like a truck driver, man.
Right, you think Russ sounds like a truck driver?
Yes.
Wow, truck driver.
Now, Rusty sounds like a bowler.
Rusty sounds like a bowler, but Russ sounds like a truck driver.
Yeah, so actually, I went to this bowling alley forever ago. And it was like super, and I'm not kidding. It was like, I mean, it was right out of like the late 70s, early 80s. The whole thing. And there was like... some random wall. I'm going to just say it was stapled up with like a staple gun, but it was probably tacked up with like rusty nails. There was a straight on like full glitter, like professional bowler's jacket, and like sequins, the whole deal. And wow. It said Rusty. And now mind you, it was like white glitter and Rusty was in red glitter. I'm not kidding. And
I love that.
I kept thinking of like European Vacation, where like one of the kids had a dream and they're like Rusty, and he like thought he was in a club.
Oh
and
yeah,
and he was like dancing, and I'm like, oh my god, like I don't know anything else. But so every time I hear it, it's either a trucker
or a bowler
or I don't know.
I gotcha.
God, I wish I could get the picture of that and post it. Okay, well, anyway.
All right, we're back in December.
You can delete all that, Chris.
No, I think that's really funny.
That's true.
I'm leaving it.
Rusty.
We're back in December of 2011.
Yeah, back in 11.
Right at Christmas time.
True.
This is like just after Christmas. I think it's the 27th. Russ spent the evening at his friend Michael Corbin's house watching movies from 6 p.m. until 9 p.m.
Oh, we're talking about alibi.
Yeah. So after he left Russ's house... And we'll find out why this all matters. Mm. After he left his buddy Michael Corbin's home, he picked up dog food, because you got to feed the dogs, drove to an Arby's on Lake Street in St. Louis before returning home at 130 Sumac Drive.
Wait. Rusty, the truck driver.
Mm-hmm.
I got nothing against this guy. I'm just saying. I'm picturing a truck driver, red beard. He goes to get Old Roy dog food at Walmart, swings in the Arby's, gets a double two cheddar and cheeses for $5 or whatever.
He did get two sandwiches.
It's Rusty. He's watching his pennies. And then?
Goes home.
He goes home. Yeah.
Yeah, so he and Betsy lived on a peaceful little cul-de-sac, which still, like, had empty lots ready for building. They weren't all sold and built on yet. Russ was going to walk into his home and not feel that peacefulness probably ever again. At 9:40 p.m., Russ called 911, saying that he found his wife had killed herself. At least that's what he initially thought. I love this freaking deputy name, W.D. Hollingsworth, because every deputy should be named Hollingsworth.
W.D.
was the first to respond. He reported that Russ was hysterical and was in a panic state.
So is it fair to say this was like a rural town?
It's definitely a small town. The town that Pam lived in, which is like 20 or so minutes away, was smaller than this one.
Okay.
But this was not a big like town. It's a suburb of St. Louis. You can actually go out on the internet and listen to this 911 call. Mm-hmm. And he is out of his mind. He's yelling. He's crying. He's saying, why would she do this to me? He told the 911 operator that the knife was still in his wife's neck and that she was dead. That is tough.
Man, I'm just going to be like, I hope he finished his Arby's before he walked in the house.
Oh, good Lord. Of course you'd think about the Arby's.
That cheddar cheese doesn't, you know, it'd be, you know.
You hate to waste it.
And it lays heavy, so he isn't coming up.
No, it does lay heavy.
Man, Russ.
I know.
That's a tough scene to walk in.
That's a tough scene to walk into. Betsy was found on the floor in front of the couch, kind of on her right side. She had been stabbed over 55 times.
Oh, my God. I wasn't committing suicide, no. Russ.
Her wrists were cut clear down to the bone, and a serrated kitchen knife was found still lodged in her neck. Another knife was found under a pillow on the couch she was lying on. First responders arrived within 10 minutes and, after initial examination of the body, concluded that Betsy had been dead for at least an hour or longer. Her time of death was later reported as being between 7:20 p.m. and 9:41 p.m.
Come on, coroner. Can't you get better than that?
They really can't.
Temperature probe, man.
Betsy was 42 at the time of her death.
So this was in 2011.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And her daughters were Leah and Mariah. One of Betsy's friends would later say of her, in high school, Betsy was the kind of person that made everyone feel like they had a friend.
Unlike Pam, who had a lot of friends, but not the right kind of friends. She had man friends.
Yeah. The Farias had only...
A lot of man friends.
Actually,
I have no evidence of that, but I'm just seeing her in a way.
Yeah, you'll see her in a way, I promise.
Not happy with Pam thus far.
The Farias had only lived in their home for about 2 years, so few in the neighborhood knew the couple very well. Detectives from the Lincoln County Sheriff's Office, Mark Merkel, Mike Reeder, and Brent Mitchell canvassed the neighborhood looking for clues to who could have committed such a heinous crime. No one had seen or heard a thing. Isn't that crazy? 704 crime scene photos were taken, and this is important, and 83 evidentiary articles collected.
Your big words, Chris.
Thank you.
Evidentiary. Mm-hmm. Well, eventually we'll learn what those 83 evidentiary articles are.
I'm not going to go through all 83. I don't think I could even find a list of all 83. With all of that, authorities would then go on to claim that there was not much left to go on, except there was a blood-stained pair of slippers in Russ's closet. There was a cloth with an unknown stain in the kitchen and a blood smear on a light switch in the bedroom. So none of it really made a whole lot of sense, essentially. And of course, as we've said, it's always the husband. Russ was arrested the day after his wife's death, as his initial declaration that Betsy had killed herself was considered, quote-unquote, ludicrous.
Because it is.
By the authorities.
But he didn't know what to do because he's a truck driver with Arby's.
Exactly.
He walked in with Old Roy slung over one shoulders, two Arby's laying heavy on his stomach, and then he freaks out.
Yep.
Like.
Well, there's more to this,
and these
too.
Are like hillbilly cops that don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, right. And there's more.
No, seriously.
And you'll find out there's more to this, too, and there's a reason why he might have thought that she had wanted to kill herself.
Because she had cancer.
Yeah, and she had,
her boobs were cut off like a couple months ago. It's super depression.
Yeah, she had, no,
seriously, it's messed up.
She had talked about some suicidal ideation as well.
Yeah, they don't know what Rust knows.
They don't. And I don't think they did a very good job of figuring out what Rust knows.
Boys in Blue were on break here. Unlike Gus the fireman.
You'll find out it's real bad.
Gus wouldn't have done this.
No,
Gus. He'd put the fire out.
Would have done his due diligence. I believe it.
He would. I can see, and you know, I can guarantee that Gus the fireman, who I don't know, has a mustache.
Don't they all have mustaches?
Like, you know, yeah.
I think that's a pretty safe guess.
Because it's a requirement.
Of a fireman.
Man, so Russ is. I digress. So Russ is arrested the day after because, you know.
Because they are like, well, she clearly didn't kill herself. You're a liar. Because
there's a serrated neck sticking out of her knife. Yeah. A serrated knife sticking out of her neck.
Yes.
Yeah.
They also said that no other evidence was found outside the home or in the area. No blood evidence was found in any sink or shower. No blood trails were found exiting the home. So he was the logical suspect. He was swabbed, poked, prodded, printed, all the things, all while still processing his wife's death. Now that's tough. Russ was agitated and up and down with his emotions, which was seen as, quote, suspicious. But let's be honest. You don't know how people are going to react when something like this happens. I can't even imagine.
Like, if you're stabbed 55 times, like, we all know this. Were the cuts on the perpetrator's hands?
Yeah.
Russ didn't have any.
Well,
actually, yeah. I don't know that, but I'm sure he didn't. Because he didn't do it.
Russ?
He agrees to take a polygraph test.
And what have we said before?
Lawyer up.
Lawyer up and don't ever take a polygraph.
I tell my pod dog this all the time.
Pod dog knows. She would never take a polygraph.
She's very, very aggressive, by the way, and would kill any other dog she could or die because she's not very smart and super aggressive.
She's so cute.
I know. She's a pity.
She's a little pity mix.
So I said, you know what? Lawyer up.
Lawyer up. Pod dog. Well, unfortunately.
Same with Russ.
But listen to this. He failed his polygraph. But why?
Of course he did.
Because he was distraught as hell. You're not going to pass a freaking polygraph.
Anyone that eats Arby's is distraught.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so remember. Okay, so Pam.
All right, so we're gonna move all over to Pam now.
We're going to find some stuff out about Pam.
Cooking spray Pam.
We're going to find out that Pam was actually the last one to see Betsy alive. Mm-hmm. She was interviewed by the police, and she told police that Russ had a, quote, violent temper and was a heavy drinker, and that he had even threatened Betsy, who Pam said had talked about possibly leaving him. Of course, naturally, right?
Where's she going to go? She's got 3 weeks to live.
Pam told police.
Well, 3 years, but...
3 years.
But Pam, anesthetized, come on, to her liver.
Well...
She didn't have 3 years.
Well, she could have. I mean, we've known somebody who lived quite a while after...
I'm not believing Pam is all I'm saying.
Okay. Pam told police that she had shown up at Betsy's mother's house to pick Betsy up for her chemo appointment. But Betsy's mom, Janet, had told her the appointment had been moved up and her friend Bobby Huang had taken her as they wanted to spend some time together. It would later be shown that Betsy had texted Pam that Bobby was taking her to the appointment and not to bother coming. Pam actually denied receiving the text, but later on forensics would discover that not only had Pam received that text, she'd replied to it. So rather than comply with Betsy's wishes to leave her with her friend Bobby for some like one-on-one time because they hadn't seen each other for a while, on December 27th, 2011, Pam showed up to Betsy's chemotherapy unannounced.
Pam just brings it on.
Mm-hmm, at the Alvin J. Siteman Cancer Center in St. Louis. After chemo, Betsy and Bobby went to dinner, then returned to her mother Janet's house to relax and play a board game or two. So Pam shows up to the chemo center to like hang with Betsy.
Right.
Probably thinking she was going to wiggle her way in to drive her home. But Betsy's like, no, no, no. Bobby and I are going to go get some dinner. So bye-bye. You're not invited, Pam.
Actually, her name was Bobby Joe.
No, it was just Bobby. We know a Bobby Joe. Anyway, Janet, which is Betsy's mom, and Betsy and Bobby played the board game Upwards, which I have never played. I don't even think I ever heard of it. But that's the game they played. Afterwards, she was driven home by Hup.
It's better than Downwards.
Yeah, I would say so. Hup did weasel. Pam weaseled her way in. She's like, I'm going to drive you home.
She wormed in.
So she literally had gone.
She slipped in. She's slippery.
She did. Yes. Slippery. Mm-hmm. Like Pam spray. So she weaseled her way in. She even drove like 30 minutes out of her way to get to Janet's house.
Worm.
I know. And she insisted on driving Betsy home that night. Like, I'm sorry, but that's just weird. Pam was the last confirmed person, as I said before, to see her alive. Betsy had originally been scheduled to be driven home by Russ, or she was going to just stay with her mother. But Pam unexpectedly drove there, right? She's like, no, I'm going to come and get you, and insisted on driving her home. In fact, the last time that Russ spoke to his wife, Betsy, was when he called her and offered to come and get her. Because he was like, well, I'll just leave early. Betsy told him Pam was going to drive her home instead. Don't worry about it. Stay and have fun with your friends. So again,
this is on the 27th, right?
Yep.
So, and correct me if I'm wrong, but on the 22nd, right?
Mm-hmm.
Five days earlier.
Yes.
That's when Slippery Pam tries to take out a life insurance, or does take out a life insurance policy.
Yes.
Right. I mean, really?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just, because no, there's been it. a lot of words here.
You're right.
But like, let's not lose track of that timeline. 5 days later.
Mm-hmm. 5 days later.
Yeah.
Nothing like, no time like the present.
Yeah.
So Pam claimed to the police that she dropped Betsy off at home at approximately 7 p.m. And at approximately 7:21 p.m., so 21 minutes later, a call to Betsy from one of her daughters went unanswered. During Pam's interview with the police, Pam claimed that Betsy didn't like being home with Russ. Pam said that sometimes Russ would be verbally abusive to her and would joke that he'd be rich when Betsy died. She told police that Betsy was going to tell Russ some quote-unquote good news, that she wanted to move out of their house and into her mother's house to avoid a foreclosure that her mother was facing. She also told police that Russ had taken to practicing putting a pillow over Betsy's face and asking her if she thought that that was what it would feel like to die. Police ate up every single word.
Right.
Because it's easier to believe this Yahoo than to actually, you know, investigate.
Gotta investigate, coppers.
Yep. Pam told police that when she and Betsy got to Betsy's house, the gray Nissan that Russ was driving was in the driveway, and the front light was off, but the front door was unlocked. She then said she called her husband to tell him she had gotten to Betsy's house okay. It would later be discovered that Russ's friend said Russ was driving a blue Explorer, not a gray Nissan. But police just seemed to kind of...
They forgot.
Pam then changed her story multiple times, which is never a good thing.
Yeah.
About things like whether or not she went into Betsy's house, what she did when she entered. Because she was like, oh, I didn't go in with her. Oh, actually, now that I think about it, I did go in with her. And, oh, yeah, right. I let the dog out because the dog is vicious. And so I put the dog in the backyard. She also told police about a series of calls she made, including one to Betsy, which Betsy didn't answer. She even called Janet, Betsy's mom, to tell her that she was worried about Betsy, who didn't answer or return her call, because she thought Betsy might be mad at her for not staying with her, because she claims... Well, Betsy really just wanted me to stay with her because she really wanted me to watch a movie with her. But I was like, nah, I got to get home to my hubby, so I'm dipping out of here. It would later be discovered that her story of a series of calls and texts did not line up with what she said.
Go figure.
Because, you know, forensics. They're going to pull your phone records.
Lies and forensics don't tend to match up.
Not usually. Pam told police. Man,
Pam.
Oh, yeah, it gets worse.
It's like a smoking gun.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. It gets so much worse. Pam told police to look at Betsy's laptop, where they found a document in which she purportedly detailed her fears that her husband might kill her. Can anyone say overly convenient? However, it would later be found that the document with a quote unknown author was written in Word 97, which had not been installed on Betsy's laptop. Oh, those little computer forensics, right?
What?
Even in 2011, they're going to get you.
Is Pam just not that smart?
Dude, I cannot believe. I can't believe.
Like she had it. Yeah. She got away with it, and she kept talking.
Oh, she kept talking, and she talks and talks and talks incessantly.
Oh, that's probably the problem.
Oh, my God. She's the kind of person I think I'd have to bitch slap, because I'd be like, you just need to stop flapping your gums.
Pam.
But the part that kills me is the police believed every stupid ass thing she said.
Initially, well, they wanted to believe it because it was easy.
Because it was easy. Like I said, it's easier to believe this Yahoo than to, you know, investigate. Initially, Pam was asked to take a polygraph, which she, you know, ever helpful Pam, agreed to do. But then she got a lawyer, and she was able to convince her doctor to write her a vague medical excuse as to why she could not participate in such a test. So she never took one.
Pam is slippery.
Uh-huh.
What's amazing to me is how incompetent the police are here.
Yeah, this is a totally like bungled case. Like,
seriously.
Yeah, it's really bad.
And then again, like, Russ probably was agitated and angry. And like, he probably acted like,
in the most horrific way.
But, yeah, so in any case. So in any case.
I will say that Betsy's family.
They knew.
They were kind of like, yo, cops, why aren't you looking at Pam? Because you probably should. Police in... Oh, did you hear Pod Dog? I don't know if the mic can pick that up, but that's funny.
What's happening?
Aww.
Okay, so.
So Betsy's family insisted, like, hey, you got to take a look at her. But police insisted, like,
we got our.
She's not a suspect. Yeah, they're like, we got our guy. Despite the discrepancies in her story and the fact that her cell phone tower, listen to this, her cell phone tower had her still located in Betsy's neighborhood until well after she said she had left.
But.
And remember, she dropped Betsy off at 7. Betsy didn't answer the phone at 7:21. So between 7 and 7:21, she was dead.
But Russ.
Her cell phone put her there between that time.
But, and Russ was just eating Arby's.
And Russ was just eating Arby's.
Actually, no. He was at his buddy's house till 9.
He was. He doesn't find out his wife is dead until 2 hours after she's dead.
Russ.
Yeah. So there were so many inconsistencies and changes to Pam's stories, but police seemed to dismiss them right, left, and center, and poor Russ would pay the price. On January 4th, 2012, the day after Betsy's funeral, Russ was charged with first-degree murder and armed criminal action. Unable to make the $250,000 bail, he was held in the county jail until his trial began. Wow.
Two years later.
In 2013, in November.
Late 2013. Yep. 2 years.
2 years. During Russ's trial, his defense attorney, Joel
County
Schwartz.
County jail's no joke either.
Oh my God.
Like, it's not a fun place to be.
I have never been in one myself. I know you spent some time there, but.
Hey. That was different. It's not a joke.
It's not a joke.
County jail's like, you're like, oh, big deal. It's county jail, right?
No, thank you. No, thank you.
Okay.
Nope.
Yeah. Let me tell you, those guys are just as scary as the guys up in Mansfield or wherever.
Yes. In some ways, maybe even more so. I don't know. But Russ's defense attorney, Joel Schwartz, who I will tell you, turns out to be kind of a hero in the end of this whole thing.
Yeah, may the Schwartz be with you.
May the Schwartz be with you.
That's right.
He argued that the testimonies of the four friends, remember, he was with four friends, cell phone records showing he was at his friend's house 20 miles away from the murder scene, and evidence of his making purchases from different stores over the course of the evening. Remember, we said all that stuff?
Oh, yeah. Clearly, Old Roy dog food.
That's it. Clearly demonstrated. And by the way, I didn't say it, but you guessed it. He did buy it at Walmart.
Damn right. It's Russ.
I know.
And they live in fucking Hillbilly Nation. I don't got a problem with it. I'm just saying.
Well.
I'm sorry. They live in a rural area.
They do. So all of those things demonstrated.
Where there are no sidewalks or sanitary systems.
That's not true. Jeez, oh Pete.
I like city water.
I do too. So, but because of all of those things, right? The friends, the cell phone, all that, the receipts. Those clearly demonstrated that the timeline would not have allowed for him to commit the murder.
And I'll help Schwartz out, you know. There's no blood on his clothes. There's no cuts on his hands.
Yep.
I'm just saying.
As you said, there were no traces of blood. None of that stuff that you might expect somebody to have on them if they just committed an incredibly bloody murder. Because there was blood everywhere. Prosecuting attorney Leah Askey, who is going to turn out to be not a hero, countered, listen to this, that Russ's friends were providing a false alibi and had conspired with him to perpetrate the murder.
So four other people are going to go conspiracy to commit murder for their buddy.
Yep.
Of by the way, a woman who's honestly going to die soon anyway.
Right.
She's going to die anyway.
Right. And so this
woman
says,
life insurance pays out anyway.
Yeah.
So that's such, this, oh my gosh.
This asshat says that they held onto his cell phone so it would look like he was at his friend's house. They were posing as him to buy dog food and Arby's to falsify his whereabouts as the quote-unquote ultimate role play.
If I was a prosecuting attorney, I'd say that too.
Well, but listen, the reason she called it the quote-unquote ultimate role play is, get this.
It's because she had a ball gag?
No, but that would be... She actually looks like she should have had a ball gag. You should look her up.
I'm looking her up.
Leah Askey.
I'm looking her up mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah, she mm-hmm. looks like she maybe swallowed a ball gag. Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not... Maybe I shouldn't look her up.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing.
The first thing that comes up in Google is Leah Askey apology.
Yes, because she needed to apologize after this bullshittery. She made fun of these guys because... Remember how I told you Russ went to his friend's house? So he did this on a regular basis. Every Tuesday was game night.
Right.
With his friends. And they played role-playing games. That's what they played. And the reason on the 27th they didn't play their games is because their one buddy couldn't come.
Right.
And you can't play the game if you're missing a character. That's why they watched movies. So she said that he and his four friends made up this whole story as the ultimate role-play.
Nice.
What a biatch. The trial judge, Christina Menemeyer, refused to allow Schwartz to present evidence implicating Pam Hupp as an alternative suspect, including the cell phone records we talked about showing that she had stayed in the vicinity of the Faria house for up to 30 minutes after she had claimed to have dropped Betsy off, or that Betsy had made Pam Hupp the sole beneficiary of the life insurance policy.
This is crazy. Like, yeah. What, so the judge failure. Was like,
no, you can't.
I've said this before. What a failure of a system.
Big time.
The more and more I hear this, it's just like.
It wasn't even law enforcement. I mean, yes, they were a big part of it, but it was also the district attorney and the judge. I mean, it's just incensed.
It is. This is crazy.
It's super crazy. During the trial, Detective Mike Merkel of the Lincoln County Sheriff's Office reported that the crime scene, get this. Do you remember how many pictures I told you they took?
Yeah.
A whole bunch, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, the camera broke, the photographs failed to develop, there's no photographic evidence of the crime scene.
What?
At all. Yup. But get this.
There's a lot of people that need to be held liable for
accountable.
This.
Accountable. Yeah.
Russ deserves some retribution.
Uh-huh. He sure the hell does.
Actually, I don't mean it like that. Russ just deserves some money.
Yeah. So Schwartz, Russ's attorney, he later actually obtains copies of the photographs in question. And in a secret hearing during the trial, Pam claimed that she had put $100,000 of the insurance money in a trust for Betsy's daughters. Well, in July...
Wait, was this another lie?
In July of 2014, in a civil deposition...
Wait, I already know what happened.
What?
She wrote with Word 1997 that she's going to gamble it all away.
I love that. That would have been actually really funny.
And then put it on the computer.
Right. Tried to email it to herself. So she actually admitted that she did not put the money in a trust.
Turns out I didn't do it. I was going to, but I didn't get to it.
Yeah. So later on in August of 2016, so we're going to do a little time travel here. It was actually later then revealed that Pam Hupp's company, that H2 Partners LLC,
yes,
that I told you about.
H2 Partners LLC.
Right, the one that she had
a legitimate, illegitimate house flipping company.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Loaned over $122,000 to her son, Travis.
Yep.
Yep. I'm actually going to leave you with a little bit of a cliffhanger because the next line will tell you what happens to Russ, and we're going to call it a day on this case.
We're to conclude day one of day two. Of podcasting?
Yes.
Is that what you're telling me, Chris?
I'm telling you we're going
to
leave.
Are you ready to retire for the evening?
I'm ready to retire.
Oh.
I'd like to just retire in general, but that's not going to happen.
You know, I was talking to a friend of mine.
But you have so many friends. Which one?
I do have a lot of friends. And I was talking to a friend of mine. And he said, you know, I just want to just stop working and just not do anything.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And I just want to find some type of remote job. And this is someone who's like a smart guy. I think he's like a 2 master's degrees, charismatic guy. You know, he's working. You know, he's not rich, but he's not poor. He's got a good job. And I don't even care about the money. I just want to kind of hang out. And I looked at him and I said, Well, you can just not work and do that.
It's true.
You don't have to. You can. You don't have to do shit.
Nope.
It's called not working.
Facts.
And it's funny because he paused and he's like, "Yeah, but I need to work.
I like my lifestyle."
Basically, like that's stupid,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But it's like, but what you're saying is stupid. Is my point.
Yeah, I guess.
I want to retire. I'm ready to retire too, by the way.
Yeah, it's time.
I'm good with not doing anything. I just want money.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Enough to sustain.
That's the first part of this. It's going to get even wilder, believe me. It gets way crazier.
What?
Yes, it gets way crazier.
So we gotta end this episode. I'm sorry. We're going to retire right now.
Temporarily.
So we'll kind of wrap up episode 1 of 2?
I guess we'll see.
One of more than
one. Right.
Yeah. With Pam Slippery.
Mm-hmm.
Russ, damn.
Poor Russ.
Sorry, Russ.
I know. I'm sorry, Russ.
And he's not even the worst victims.
Betsy.
No bets.
And her daughters, right?
Well, obviously. Yes. Yeah. And the kids.
Yeah.
Man.
I know.
I wonder if the kids supported Russ through this.
They're
probably confused.
We're going to talk about that later.
Coward's Fury followers. We're going to get to that.
Thank you for your deep radio voice.
That's just my natural tone, Chris. See.
Okay.
But let me elevate it to the unnatural tone and say, hey.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
We appreciate you, furious followers. Join us next time for...
Part 2.
Part 2. Like, Falia Du. Remember that episode? I mean, that was one I did on my own, but...
That one?
Mm-hmm. If you didn't listen to that one, go listen to that one. It's pretty cool. And please share us with everybody that you know. It would really make a big difference to us. And we're going to talk about more Pam Hupp because we just have to next time.
Keep the emails coming in.
Keep them coming in. We love them.
I'll keep the shout outs coming out.
Yep. And if you have any case recommendations, feel free. Pass them along.
Thanks, furious followers. We appreciate you.
We do. Peace out.